Can the remote people hear us now?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank
Yeah,
you.
I can hear you. Thanks.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Sorry about
Yeah, I can continue. So we can easily cut the center of this tape and pull it up to make this loop. So in this way, this is the real closed loop without any loss, any joint. And we can stack them together, make more tapes together. So they have the advantages of such as flexible geometry and quality controlled by standard tape manufacturer and higher reliability by stacking the independent tapes. So each of them are independent. Another way is more straightforward is to we can make the closed loop HTS coils. They have the advantage of regulated shapes, and also the quality is well controlled because they are standard tapes. So let's move to the magnetization of the HTS stacked ring magnet. Oh, by the way, this is I call it HTS stacked ring magnet because there are tapes. They stack together. This is the sample I made for the HTS stack ring magnet. As you can see, there are a it's that's outside the brass is the reinforcement to hold it during because during the magnetization, the Lorentz force can just if we don't protect it properly, it can just damage the whole magnet. So here it's 160 tapes together inside this small holder. And this is after impregnation. It was impregnated with wax and aluminum nitride powder to increase the thermal conductivity. This is the structure we place the Cernox temperature sensor, and there is a hole sensor in the center. This is the trapped field, the result of the trapped field. So at 25K, it can achieve a trapped field of 3.7 Tesla. During the magnetization process, it was noticed that the central field can show an ascend, it can goes up, and which was not observed in the traditional bulk superconductors. So there's something newly observed. So to make a comparison, this is the trapped field of the traditional bulk superconductors. You can see the trapped field, the central field, they can never access, they can go above the applied field. But here, the central field can just go up higher. So this is as a new phenomenon. I want to know why this is the reason and what's the potential for this phenomenon. So I used numerical models to study this trapped field magnet. Maybe I can use this. I did a homogenized 3D model with H formulation. And this is the penetration sequence of the HTS stacked ring magnet is different from that of traditional box because you can see the current from the induced current from both the inside and outside. And the inner layer and outer layer are penetrated simultaneously. And this is the induced current. And finally, this is the cross-section 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8. Finally, the cross-section 1, cross-section 8, they have the same induced current. To make a comparison, consider the HTS bulk materials with the same geometry of that HTS stacked ring magnet, we can see this is the induced current. The outer layers are firstly penetrated, and the induced current in the outer layer is much higher than the inner layer. I call this outer layer, and this is inner layer. And the central field, this the yellow light is the central field. The central field doesn't show the ascent during the magnetization. And this unique stacking method and penetration sequence, that's the reason cause the central field going up during the magnetization. Because you see here, this, you can see. So the only in the, on the outer layer, there's induced current, but the inner layer, it's there is no current. So based on this analyze, a model with a number of tapes doubled was investigated. In the model, I increased the number of tapes and do the simulation again. The result shows that the central field, the central trapped field, can go higher than the original applied field. For example, here, the applied field, this way, the black one, it's 4.5 Tesla, but the trapped field is around 5 Tesla. So in this way, it means if we want to increase the central field and we don't need to use a very high external field to generate that. And here we want to just to better utilize the space and enhance the trapped field. The HTS and the box are used as the inserts for the HTS rings. And to increase the trapped field magnet, this we use the box, and here I used the stacks. This is the box and the stacks. So with the bulk material, the trapped field is 735, and with the stacks, it's 6.6 Tesla. And to better understand the HTS stack, the rings, and HTS box, to how to know they interact with each other. The current generated and distributed within these materials are analyzed during the magnetization. This is the induced current, the red line in the HTS stacked rings, because here, this is the model, this is the ring, and inside this is the insert, the bulk. As you can see, there are A, B, C, D, E, 5. I use the 5 steps to explain the magnetization. And at step A, both the HTS stacked rings and HTS bulks start penetration. Here, they both have the induced current. However, some parts inside this magnet still remain untouched. It means here, there are some parts that are not penetrated, meaning there's no current flowing in this area. Then at step B, the transition from the first to the second phase occurs at the step B, where the HTS stacked rings achieve a full penetration here. However, but in this box, they are not fully penetrated. This full penetration in the HTS stacked rings remain consistent from B to E, it's always fully penetrated. However, after the step B, even the HTS stack ring magnetization, the magnetization pace or the magnetization speed and reduced, because here is the quicker, here is lower. The induced current continues to increase due to the increased IC, even though it's fully penetrated, but the external field is going down. During this process, the IC of the HTS, the tapes, is increasing. That's why it can still induce higher current. This is the unique, and I call it two-stage magnetization of this hybrid HTS ring magnet. Now let's move to the mechanical analysis of the hybrid HDSSEC ring magnet. For the high field applications, the mechanical stability is critical. So I have, this is a sample. It just broke during the magnetization due to the mechanical stress and Lorentz force effect in the tapes. The simulation in the HTS stacked ring magnets, the simulation revealed the effect of Lorentz force and the stress concentration on the edge of the slit here. That's exactly what it happened on the edge of the slit if we don't have any proper reinforcement. Actually, this sample was my first sample. I made it without any reinforcement. I just put in the external magnet, and just the whole magnet, it was just like a flower, just goes out. The open side are pushed towards the middle. This is the open side. They were pushed into the middle, and there are on the y-axis, there's a force to pull it out. This is the stress concentration on this observed on end of the split. So after impregnation and the mechanical press, actually there will be another cover to press it. And the stress concentration is reduced significantly, especially at the end of the splits. As you can see here, this is 75, but previously it was around 800. And if we assume that all the boundaries of the magnet is fixed, which means they are in the ideal situation, they're all fixed, there will be no stress concentration. So it means how we make this sample is very important for the mechanical stability. And this is the, as we say, there is a stack insert in the center of the magnet. During the magnetization, Fy and Fz, they are zero, they are always zero. However, the Fy, they have a, first it will go to positive and then it will go to negative. So it means the stack in the center, it will go left and then turn goes to the right, because due to the asymmetric magnetization flux, By and negative and positive By generated by the HTS stacked rings affecting the HTS stack inserts. That's because the field is not homogenized. Now this is the stress distribution in the cross section of the HTS stacks. As you can see, they are not symmetric. And then it's the magnetization of the HTS double pancake coil with joints. As you can see, there's an advantage for the HTS stacked rings, this real closed loop without any loss. But the shape is not easy to control. It has like an eye. But if we can just make a bridge type joint to connect the terminals of a double pancake coils, then we can make the shape is ideal, a circular or other kind of shapes. We use the bridge type joint to ensure that the resistance between the superconducting layers is minimized and proper mechanical strength. Here is the test. We made the joint, and the joint was tested in liquid nitrogen. It's around 10 nanoohm during the test. After soldering, this sample is also impregnated with wax and aluminum nitride powder. Then I took this sample to to France. They have a European high field lab. And I do the mechanization with 4.5 Tesla. And this is the result. I did two tests. One is 1 Tesla, another one is 4.5 Tesla. As you can see, both magnetization see a higher trapped field than the applied field. This is the 1 Tesla magnetization. This is the central field. As you can see, after the magnetization, is higher than the applied field. And this is a 4.5 Tesla magnetization. Here, the decay is caused by the joint resistance. Even though this experiment was did in 4K, because it has a ball for the magnet of 100 millimeter, but that magnet can only use the liquid helium for the cooling. Even though in the 4K situation, the soldering material PBSN is superconducting, but between the two layers, between the two tapes, there are copper layers. So I think that is the reason for the resistance. So after 30 minutes in this test, after 30 minutes, the decay is 0.87%. So to further explain why the coil and also the stacked ring magnet can achieve a trapped field higher than applied field, but the bulk superconductors cannot. There is a comparison study. This one is the HTS coil model, but this one is HTS bulk material. The biggest difference is for this model, each layer they share the same amount of current, but this one, there is no constraints on how much current for each layer. As you can see, this is the coil. There are both negative and positive current density in the outer turns of HTS double pancake coils. And this is the bulk. There are only positive components at the outer layers, but the inner layers, it's not penetrated. And here you can see all of the tapes, all of the layers, they are penetrated because they're just one tape. The cause of the negative current density here can be considered as the reversed magnetization because the external field is going down. But actually the central field is going up. So there is kind of a reversed magnetization which lead to this negative induced current in the coil. Here is the comparison. The red line is the trapped field of a bulk materials. The black line is the trapped field of the coils. So you can see in this material itself, the bulk material can trap more field in this material itself. But in the center, the field is lower. But for the coils, looks like it can expel the flux into the center. So in the material itself, there is less field trapped in the coil. But in the center, there is a higher field. And also you can see in the edge, the field is much higher than the applied field. And there is a comparison for this three types of trapped field magnets. Both of them can be used for field cooling magnetization, and this can also be used for the pulsed magnetization. Actually, for the stacked ring magnet, I also want to do some pulsed magnetization, but now it's and maybe later. And they have asymmetric field distribution, but the others, they all have the symmetrical field distribution. For the mechanical strength, this has the highest mechanical strength. This is medial because it has a weak point. The weak point is on the joint. And this ring magnet, this bulk material, it leads the reinforcement to enhance the mechanical strength. And finally, I want to introduce our lab in Strathclyde. University of Strathclyde is the core strengths of a university is about engineering, science, and business. And we have 500 academic and research plus support staff and PhD students and 1,000 undergraduate and MSc students. And we have the largest power system research institute in the Europe. For our lab, our research focuses on the fundamental research of high temperature superconductors and the cryogenic aviation propulsion, future grid and fusion generation. We have two professors, 8 PhDs and 4 postdocs. And currently we are working on the zero emission and sustainable transportation, ZEST1, which is for the superconducting machine. And we also have the project for the electric propulsion, which is the machine too. And we have industrial projects about the LH2 tank and the liquid hydrogen tank testing and the cryogenic converters. This is our lab. And we have two rooms. This is one of the rooms. This is the 25K cryostat for the experiments. And this is the rotor for our superconducting machines. This is the thermal siphon for cooling the rotational rotors. And there's some equipment and tests that we are doing. This is the machine, and here's the cooling facilities. Thank you very much. And if you have any questions, please ask.
Thanks very much, Engpei, for a really interesting seminar. Do you have any questions? And straight up at the back.
Yeah.
The people on Zoom can't.
So you make a trapped field magnet and it has a certain field within it. How long does that field last for? Forever or much less?
If you're talking about this kind of stack of ring magnets, I can say if you keep the temperature below the TC, it's forever. It's like the bulk superconductors. But this one, it will decay because the joint resistance, but it will be much slower, like exponential relationship.
Is there experimental measurements of this?
Yes, that's all experimental.
Not of the decaying case, but of the indefinite case.
What do you mean indefinite case?
Well, you said that one of them the field lasts forever.
It depends on the theoretical issue, be lost forever.
Yeah.
But actually, it's limited by the test facilities, and you cannot do it a very long time.
Yeah. Okay. On this slide, this is my second question. Aluminium nitride powder, what is that for?
It's for better thermal conductivity, because if we only have wax, the wax is not very good for the thermal conductivity.
But why do you need that at all? What is it there for?
For better, because when you have the, during the field cooling mechanization, the external field is going down. It's kind of, you can see it as a AC process. It's very slow, but during that process, they will generate heat. The heat will generate, because this, you can say first, it has a metal holder, that one itself, it will generate heat. And also the tapes, the superconducting tapes, it has metal components, it will generate heat. And even the superconducting material, it will generate heats. For even the bulk superconductor, it's pure, not just pure, it's the bulk superconductors, it will also generate heat if the external field goes too quick. So the thermal management is very important. It's actually is very slow.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hill. So you're basically looking for something there, which is an electrical insulator but also a good conductor of heat. Is that the reason for the choice?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions in the room or online? Not online.
Well, thank you for the talk. If the Lorentz force becomes excessive, how will your coils deform? Will they expand in all directions? And so in extreme case, will the magnet explode or implode?
It will. If you talk about this this ring shape, this shape, it will not explode. It will not explode. It because it, when the force is huge enough, the IC will decrease. The IC will decrease. It means the heat will generate. The structure will deform during that. So it's not a sudden explode. It will like just the damage will happen on the edge. But during that process, it will quench. It you have some quench situation similar to the quench, so you can see the trapped field in the center will go down, and the temperature will go up.
Then fly apart.
No, it will not melt because it was for this the broken one. For the broken one, it was the experiment was it was merged in liquid helium, so it just can boil the helium, but it will not like the temperature is still under control. It will not like melt some kind of things. Actually, the tapes and some of the metal parts will become black. I saw some of the black. Yeah.
Thank you.
Andy? Oh, thank you. I remember once seeing a paper that talked about persistent joints for HCS tapes. I was wondering if you think that's promising for this kind of application.
I can answer this question in this way because to do this experiment is to show that how long it can hold if we have and the resistance is low enough. Because we previously we want to use this one for the machine. Actually, what we are doing is we DC charge it and make the closed loop as the field magnet for the rotor. So if it can maintain long enough, for example, after 3 hours, it only decay 1% or 2%, we can say the performance can still be maintained. If the application, for example, the plane only fly for 2 hours, but after 10 hours, the field only decay 5%, we think that it can still work. Yeah, and that's how we consider this issue. Because there's no superconducting joints for the HTS tapes. I heard some like rumors or some people they can make superconducting joints for the HTS tapes, but personally I didn't see it. And there's also a difference between making a good joint and making a good joint for the coil. Because some people, you can put the tapes and making the joint in the oven after several hours and the resistance will be further reduced. But you cannot put the whole coil in the oven or furnace for a long time. So I think it's different. It's more difficult to make a real zero resistance HTS coil.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or any more online?
I've got a question, if I may. So you mentioned that the coil, the tape width is 12 millimeters is the maximum.
The commercial you can buy is 12, but I know previously there are higher, like ASMC, but now they don't produce that wider tapes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the limitation on the width?
Honestly, for me, I'm not sure for the manufacturer issues why they don't produce wider tapes. I know they can because I'm ASMC, they produce like 40 or 60 millimeter wide tapes, and later they stopped. Now we can only impact 12 millimeter.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah.
So I have a question, if I may, Hengpei. You talked about one of the applications being in aviation, presumably manufacturing superconducting electrical engines for aircraft. Can you say a little bit more about that? But where is that work at the moment? Is it currently still lab-based, or are the test aircraft actually flying with these components mm-hmm. in at the moment?
Of course. From the history, superconducting machines, they are... Many of them are developed for the wind generator and also for the ships, because they just need a high torque and low rotational speed. It's easier. They can use brush for the rotor. But for the aviation, why we believe that we need HTS superconducting machines for the aviation, because the traditional motors, we think the power density is not high enough. We need around 20 or above 16 kilowatt per kilogram. We need that level. But the conventional machine can hardly reach that. So now we want to develop the superconducting machines for aviation. And there are Airbus, us, and New Zealand. We are building on this prototype. Currently, what we are doing in the lab is this is the prototype of the machine. We use the superconducting armature and the superconducting rotor to reduce the weight of material while we can keep a strong field, high current, to improve the power density. There are many challenges for these machines nowadays. For example, the rotor needs to be rotated at high speed, but also it will require cryogenic temperature. So it's rotational sealing for the cooling. That's an engineering challenge. And also the AC loss on armature coils is also an issue, because it can boil the liquid nitrogen and can reduce the power density. And on board in the airplane, we need the cooling power. The concept is to use the hydrogen. The hydrogen can be used first. We can use hydrogen to directly generate electricity. And also the liquid nitrogen is a cooling source. And we can integrate this advantage to power its HTS motors. And also there's a lot of way we can use the hydrogen as the fuel to make some superconducting generator. And then we can generate electricity to power those superconducting motors. And those motors, for electrical propulsion, we believe that we need distributed propulsion, not just two engines. We need the motors to be distributed on the body of the airplanes. I don't know if I answer your question well, or do you have any other questions about this?
No, that's very interesting. I mean, that sounds like quite an interesting, very complex technical solution, but an element of symbiosis there. You put liquid hydrogen into the aircraft, use it for cooling, and yes. Take any boiled off gas to use to generate more power.
Actually, the hydrogen is the, I think hydrogen is the beginning of the story. The concept is a hydrogen, because people believe hydrogen is the green energy without the emission is water. So the hydrogen superconductor, to combine them together, that's how we talk about it, the possibility. If we just have superconductors, no, it's still very challenging, because you need cooling power on the plane to take a huge weight and a space on the plane. Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Any other questions, folks? Any questions online?
Yeah.
Question, sir. you showed the field levels that you're able to get to. How close do you think you are to the sort of practical limit? Like, how much more performance do you think you could squeeze out of these kinds of
you
magnets?
You mean put this motor on the airplane?
Well, I was talking more about the magnets earlier in the talk.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, pardon?
Sorry, so for the magnets that you showed earlier in the talk,
mm-hmm.
and you were showing the field levels that you can get to, I was just curious, how close are you, do you think, to the limits of what you can reach?
The limits, I personally believe, for example, this magnet, it can reach, we can reach much higher trapped field because you can stack more this together, yeah, layer by layer, layer by layer. Yeah, you can stack them together and you can make a more homogenized the field in the center. And that has some potentials for some great application, maybe for some acceleration, maybe in the future. But the limitation of this one is, I don't know how to say it. Also, it's limited by the ball of the external field because it needs the field cooling mechanization. But this is, anyway, this can be much bigger than this one. And for this one, maybe it's not for the trapped field magnet application because it has decay. Maybe it can be used for some like a damping system with this system. So, and how high it can achieve, it can be theoretically calculated. It's because the material is very standard. It can be like for this one at 25K, 4 Tesla in the center is around the limitation. If we increase the number of tapes, make it bigger, definitely it can achieve higher trapped field.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you once again, Hengpei, for a really interesting seminar and a great discussion.
Thank you very much.
Please join me.